SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College football, full circle.
On the right, fake to Armstrong, run, hook five, put it to the end zone, touchdown,
launches down the middle for McCleskey, and it's a three, touchdown, they take the lead with 3 seconds.
Patterson to the end zone, drives his way in, Virginia Tech has won it.
Here we go, college football full circle. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you for the next hour. Joe, how are you, my man? What is going on?
Carver, are you kidding me? This is like heaven for me, talking SEC football, college football every day. It doesn't get better than this, Carver, and I said it and I tweeted it out yesterday that we must be like long-lost cousins somewhere, right? I know there's a little bit of an age gap there, but I'm telling you, I love you. I mean, talking about college football, I feel like that we are family right here, and we're talking about the big boys today, and this is what gets me pumped up. SEC West, Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Texas A&M. I mean, come on, man. This is what it's all about.
I'm glad that you reminded me about that, Joe, the tweet about the long-lost cousins, because you sent that yesterday. I was doing Coast to Coast with Scotty, and then I come home. I got kids running around all over the place. Now you've reminded me, Joe, that I can go back and retweet that today because I liked that tweet of you with the long-lost cousins. You're absolutely right. We have SEC West. We're going to dive into that today. We have Justin Vincent coming up later in the show, former LSU running back, of course, MVP of that national title game, the 2004 Sugar Bowl. We never have a problem when Oklahoma loses, Joe, and they did that day to LSU, that's for sure. So we will talk to Justin later on. We've got odds for the SEC West. And later on in the show, Joe, we have to do this towards the end. Just this morning, FanDuel posted odds for every single week one college football game, all of them, Joe, and the eyes lit up this morning when I saw all the lines for all the games in week one, because that means we're getting a little closer to kickoff, Joe.
Oh, our friend at FanDuel, director of trading, John Sheeran, knows how to entice me, right? This is what he does. You know, we put it out. He's like, oh, Joe loves college football. So instead of just putting out a couple games, we're going to put them all out. We got a buffet here. What do you want? You want Greek yogurt? We got SEC East, SEC West. We have them all. You know, you want carbs? You want protein? This is what it's all about, Carver. And when we talk about futures, when we talk about which teams can make a run, right? It's these early season games that really dictate a team starting fast, because if you're able to steal one of these interconference games like a Miami, Alabama, or a UCLA, LSU, right? Now you have a step up in terms of your competition, as opposed to a team like Boston College, and I'll throw them under the bus with teams like Colgate and UMass, right? So these interconference games week one matter, and this is like heaven for me again, because it doesn't get better than this, Carver.
No, it really doesn't, Joe. Let's start now with the SEC West today, because the SEC is so big, we need like probably days and weeks get through the SEC, because it is, as we know, still to this day, I guess you'd have to say, Joe, the best conference in college football, right? I mean, we know it was definitely that for a few years, and maybe over the last year or two, people have tried to maybe say that it isn't. But then once again, Alabama goes, Joe, and wins another national title last year. And they come into this season, once again, the heavy favorite. Even to win the national title, they're plus 250. They're the favorites on the board at FanDuel. And to win the SEC, Joe, minus 160, the Alabama Crimson Tide. And for the SEC West, they are minus 450. So once again, this is the team. And a new quarterback coming in now. now it's going to be Bryce Young's turn as Mac Jones is off to New England to take the wheel and lead Alabama to another national title run.
It is incredible because Bryce Young got the game experience. Not a lot of productivity last year, 156 passing yards, was in mop-up duty, only one touchdown through the air. But you mentioned it. This is what Alabama and Nick Saban do. They groom talent to be game ready, right? So now he's a sophomore, moves on. He was a five-star athlete at Mater Dei in terms of California. It's his job right now, and he's got to lead this team to the promised land. But when we look at the numbers for Alabama, Carver, I mean, they're dominant. They haven't lost a week one game since 2001. They lost to UCLA at home in Tuscaloosa. They've won those week one games by 25 plus points per game. But let's go a little bit deeper. They haven't, since 2015, Alabama, 38-2 straight up at home in Bryant-Denny. Let's go even deeper than that. Since 2015, straight up, 51-4 against SEC competition. That's dominant. They won those games last year by 30.2 points per game. I mean, that's just dominance. Now, how can Alabama win this year? Well, they have top five talent, right? Can they take a step back? It all falls on, is Nick Saban going to just, like, let it easy? You know, is he going to unbuckle the belt and say, you know what, I have seven national championships, eight doesn't matter? Or is he going to be dialed in to win his eight this year?
That is one of the biggest questions, and I think he's always dialed in. He loves standing up there at the end with that trophy in his hand, Joe. There's no doubt about that. And when we come back, one of the things that I do want to ask you about Alabama is, you know, they always have a big-time running game. I mean, you go through the years. Najee Harris gone now. We know Derrick Henry, Mark Ingram, I mean, Josh Jacobs. You go on. They always have a big-time back at Bama. I want to know if they're going to be able to replace Harris this year, Joe. So here we go. College football full circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We keep rolling through the SEC West right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
All right, College Football Full Circle right here, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, go for two with us right now. Joe, let's keep going with Alabama. I kind of started with it before we went to the break last segment. You pick it up. Alabama, even, you know, they're known for having the big backs, the guys that churn out a lot of yards. We've got another changing of the guard here. It seems like there's always a revolving door at the Alabama running back position, but the next guy is better than the last. What do we got coming in for Bama now that Najee Harris is off to Pittsburgh?
Well, Brian Robinson is that Josh Jacobs blue-collar, lunch-pail type of running back. I mean, he's going to punch you in the mouth, take your lunch money, and score a touchdown. And he's going to showboat as well. I mean, just this kid is built low to the ground. He's a north and south type of runner, can catch the football out of the backfield. You add him, Trey Sanders, and McClellan, a five-star athlete that comes over and is going to be implemented in that offense. I mean, it's status quo, right? Now, the biggest concern is you're only as good as your offensive line. And left tackle Evan Neal does come back, but they lose Leatherwood. That's a big loss, in my opinion, for this offense. So now you have three starters that come back. You lose two major pieces to that offensive line. The wide receivers are good. Are they as elite right here, right now, with John Metchie and you look at Bolden, Shane Bolden, and Barker? Are they as elite as that group was last year? I think it's a minor step back, Carver, and I think that's the difference in terms of the Alabama offense early on, but they're going to put up points. With Bryce Young, they are going to average maybe instead of 48 this year with Mac Jones last year, maybe they average 41 points per game in terms of SEC competition.
And how about also factor in this? And Robinson right now at FanDuel 60-1 to win the Heisman, if you'd like to get a ticket there. Bryce Young 12-1 at FanDuel to win the Heisman. Here's another aspect of the Alabama offense. Now, there really wasn't a beat missed when they went from Lane Kiffin to Sarkisian in terms of offensive coordinator. Sarkisian off to Texas. Now, we know Saban always brings in the best talent, and he's done that again. They're not going to miss a beat on offense here, right, Joe?
Well, there's always that concern, Carver, because I always say this about coordinators, and even though they've done it, right, I assess coordinators as like pitchers and quarterbacks, right? They have to get into a rhythm. Okay, and we're not going to know that. We could say it on paper. Everybody could say, you know what? I'm gonna project that this offense is going to be the same as it was under Sark because it did that under Brian Daboll and Lane Kiffin. Not so, because you're seeing the game through a different set of eyes. And what I mean by that is the new coordinator might be more or less aggressive in terms of certain situations. Sark might want to pass on first and second down. Now the new coordinator, until he understands that talent, he might be a little more conservative. So we really have to assess that as the season progresses. Now, the problem is that week one, they play the Miami Hurricanes. So it's, again, yes, they should win that game. And by all standards, they have not shown an ability to lose these week one games. So most likely they're going to roll, right? But you never know. And that's the biggest thing, is that coordinators have to assess how that talent is and how that talent responds in game situations. And when you have younger, inexperienced players, that's the risk that you run, especially early on. Again, it's Alabama. They do it better than everybody, but that is a concern, especially for the 2021 campaign with a new quarterback, new offensive line components, and now new wide receivers for the quarterback-wide receiver relationship.
Yeah, and look, once again, they did go high profile when it comes to the offensive coordinator, because Bill O'Brien, who was the head coach of the Houston Texans for years and years and years, is now going to be, you know, I mean, geez, Joe, you're head coach in the NFL for years, right? And now you're going, you're going to be the offensive coordinator at Alabama. Saban doesn't mess around. He always goes and gets a high-profile guy to go and sit in that chair. But that could be an adjustment for Bill. I mean, Bill's been doing NFL for a while now. I mean, it's been a while since Bill O'Brien's been at Penn State. He spent a lot of years down with the Houston Texans. He's looking to kind of jumpstart himself again after losing all his power down there. So it's going to be very interesting to see Bill go in there and work with Nick Saban and be part of his staff for the Alabama Crimson Tide. I want to take you to Texas A&M. Jimbo Fisher. We mentioned Jimbo the other day, how he left Florida State in the dust and left them with nothing. He's gone down now to College Station. And to be fair, like, a lot of people thought maybe they deserved to be in the playoffs last year. Joe, I didn't think so. I really didn't. They got whacked the one time they played Alabama. I didn't think they deserved to be there. And I think it's time that Jimbo's got to beat Alabama one of these years, Joe. That's what it comes down to. You came, they paid you a king's ransom to come and coach that team. You eventually got to beat the big guy.
Oh, without a doubt. And Jimbo has nothing to talk about. He should not be calling out Alabama. I mean, what is that? That
no.
You know, you don't do that unless you can back it up, right? I mean, the last time Texas A&M beat Alabama was with Johnny Manziel in terms of the Heisman Trophy year. We get that. They've been abused every year. I don't care. With Kellen Mond, with Kyle Allen, with Kyler Murray, it doesn't matter who the Texas A&M quarterback is. They just get abused by Alabama, right? They were, what were they, like, six, I think they were 14.5 point underdogs on the road last year. You know, they went toe-to-toe. It was 14 up. They got the turnover against Mac Jones and then just got blown out in the second half of that ballgame. That's what Texas A&M really needs to gauge. Can this defense take the next step under Mike Elko? I mean, a dominant performance last year in terms of the body of work, right? Only allowed 92 rushing yards per game. But the big concern is, outside of Isaiah Spiller at the running back position, you have two new quarterbacks, right? Who's going to win that job? Is it going to be Lane? Is it going to be Kadaza? I mean, that's a concern for me, especially when you look at the wide receivers, not elite, right? And then Jimbo Fisher again, in a big spot. I think he was a product of the schedule last year. I'm sorry. I just really think that when I look at Texas A&M in terms of a body of work, they beat up on teams that they should have. The schedule was light. And after they lost to Alabama, they really were never challenged, right? They beat Florida early on. That game was a little bit of a fluke. They just allowed them, the Gators did, to keep in that ballgame.
Yeah,
and Texas A&M fans will say, Joe, you're crazy, right?
Awful, I mean, come awful on. Loss by the Gators.
That was terrible. Terrible. But here's the thing. Let me ask you this. They've lost seven straight to Alabama, and they've been abused in every single game. They've lost those games by like 20-plus per game. Do you have any confidence in 2021, even though Bryce Young is there, that things are going to be different? for Jimbo and the crew?
No. No, I do not. I don't have any confidence that Jimbo is going to beat Nick Saban anytime, ever, to be quite honest with you. And you're right, it's been 7 years. What was it? Johnny was the last one to beat him?
Yeah, Johnny was the last one.
Johnny was the last one to beat Alabama at Texas A&M, yeah. So...
I tell you what... You know what's crazy, Carver, is the closest game that really they went toe-to-toe with Alabama since Manziel was that game with Trevor Knight and Christian Kirk. It was basically 14-13 at the half. And then Trevor Knight had a major fumble. They were catching 19 and a half. I was on the Aggies in that game. And somehow, some way, they just unraveled in the fourth quarter. And it was amazing, you know, in terms of Sumlin, what they did the rest of the way in that matchup. But we'll see. Jimbo's a national championship coach. You open your mouth, you better be able to back it up. But I just don't have any confidence in terms of the quarterback's lane, in terms of what they have. Nah, I'm not. Chase Lane is a good wide receiver. He's not elite. And that quarterback needs to develop. I'm not so sure they can do that early on in terms of SEC comp this year.
Texas A&M, the eighth choice at FanDuel to win the national title at 40-1. You can get Texas A&M. They're the third choice for the SEC, 12-1 behind Alabama and Georgia. I'm just not there. I'm not buying Texas A&M whatsoever, Joe. I really am not. Also, we're going to do LSU coming up next. We're going to have, of course, Justin Vincent come in, and we'll talk some LSU with him. Later on, though, Joe, we've got to get into the two nutcases, of course, Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach, who have kind of come in and, like, kind of changed SEC football a little bit, right? Like, right. They've got two different kind of offenses that we've been used to seeing down in that conference. So later on, Joe, we are going to have to dive into that. But when we come back, we'll hit up LSU and some other stuff in the SEC. Justin Vincent, former LSU running back, MVP of that 2004 national championship game against Oklahoma. He will join us. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi. College football, full circle, SiriusXM, Channel 204.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College Football Full Circle right here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. Joining us right now, former LSU running back, MVP, of course, of the 2004 Sugar Bowl, which just happened to be, Joe, the national title game. We always love seeing Oklahoma lose, and they did that day to LSU. And that is Justin Vincent, joins us for a few minutes here. Justin, thanks for hopping on. Appreciate the time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Let's start with LSU, with your LSU Tigers. National title 2 years ago in 2019. You had to expect a little bit of a regression. I mean, geez, the entire team went to the NFL, Justin. And so last year, a little bit of a step back. Coach O kind of putting some new guys into the mix. Now that we're 2 years removed from that, are we expecting the LSU Tigers to get back into that mix at the top of the SEC?
I think so, because a lot of the guys decided to opt in and come back for their fifth or sixth year due to COVID, obviously getting that extra year. Our whole offensive line's coming back. We have a great quarterback room. Running back room still kind of needs to prove themselves. They haven't been as consistent as they wanted them to be over the last course of the last 2 years. DBs will be good. Defensive line, we got some guys coming back. We lost one. Two there, linebackers, there'll be a couple new faces in there, but the guys who played a significant amount of ball. And I think just last year how things went, you know, everybody was kind of underachieved and didn't put their best foot forward with the injuries and people opting out. And so I think LSU will be fighting tooth and nail to be back in the forefront of things.
Justin, one of my favorite LSU Tigers of all time. When you look at the quarterback position, right, Miles Brennan returns, had a fantastic, you know, game one against Miss State and then got injured, gave way at the end of the year to Max Johnson that really led the victory over both Ole Miss and in the swamp against Florida. In my opinion, I think they should give the nod to Max Johnson, the younger quarterback, but how do you see that in terms of the starter for this coming season?
Yeah, I actually think he'll get the nod as well. Obviously, everybody feels for Miles. He waited so long, set behind Joe. You know, with the injury last year, kind of put him behind the eight ball, and obviously he didn't have the season he wanted to have. But at the end of the day, if Miles is the better guy, go with him. If Max is the better guy, go with him. At that position, I'm pretty confident that they'll pick the right one. They're both more than capable. But if I was the head coach of the LSU Tigers, I think Max would get the nod.
Justin, you know all about carrying the rock, that's for sure. How about the LSU ground game here? I think he averaged about 122 yards a game last year. Tyrone Davis-Price, you got him in the mix. John Emery, how about the LSU backs coming into 2021?
Yeah, you know, they have a lot to prove. You know, that the spring didn't get as much work as they wanted to. Had a lot of nicks and bruises. They actually had to move a guy from linebacker position and put him at running back to just give some reps at running back during the spring. I saw Ty day before yesterday. He looks in amazing shape. I see John quite a bit as well. They both look good and ready to go. I just hope they can just be consistent. You know, I think a lot of young guys, when they come into the league, no matter what conference they're in, they think it's high school and you can hit home runs at every turn of the corner. Everybody can run. They need to know that. And those 2 to 3 yards in a pile of dust add up after a while, and the play calling is a whole lot better. Third and sixth and third and 10.
Justin, LSU was known as DBU, right? All of a sudden, it's becoming wide receiver U. Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase. Now they have another one in Kayshon Booty. What have you seen from him? Because I think he's going to be an elite talent, not just this year, but in terms of a few years in the NFL.
Yeah, he is emerged and kind of you kind of saw a glimpse of it from high school, but obviously sometimes we all know that high school doesn't transfer to college. When the lights cut on, you know, people kind of clinch up a little bit. But he was more than ready to take on the challenge, and he jumped out there head first, and he made some splash plays and breaking tackles. And he's actually a little bit bigger than what people think. He's put together really well. I think he takes a lot of pride in his craft and works really hard. And obviously he got to see what was in front of him before he got to LSU and see kind of what's expected of that position. So I think he'll be a good one for a couple of years, and he'll get his opportunity to play at the next level.
College football full circle here. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi talking to Justin Vincent, former LSU running back. Let me ask you about the SEC kind of as a whole, Justin, of how the conference has kind of evolved here. For years and years, everybody thought SEC, and they thought defense, smash mouth football, low scoring games. And now there's been a little bit of a change over the last, let's say, 2 to 4 years, where the high-powered offenses have started to make their way down to the SEC, and now you've even got a couple mad scientists in the conference in Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin as well, who are bringing their crazy styles. We've heard Nick Saban say offense is the way to win games now. How about the change in the philosophy of this conference over the past couple years?
You know, all it just takes is one, somebody to spark that interest. You know, I think Lane Kiffin did that for Nick whenever he was the OC at Bama. And got him, you know, sort of sparkle in his eyes when he saw a couple of deep balls he was throwing and kind of opened up the playbook with a lot of zone reads and speed option fakes and dropping it downfield. So I think just like anything in life, if you don't adapt, you'll die off like the dinosaurs. And I think that everybody's accepting the new age of offense. You know, there'll still be some too tight personnel down the goal line and red zone. But as far as the most part of it, I think everybody will be spread out. And trying to keep people honest.
Justin, I want to ask a broader, deeper question about LSU. We know the gauge is Alabama, right? Nick Saban now will won national championship with the Tigers and 6 now with the Alabama Crimson Tide. And all they seem to do is reload, right, and win national championships. LSU has gotten that type of talent each and every year, but hasn't maintained the consistency. What do you attribute that to in terms of the gauge and not being able to go step for step with Alabama in that regard?
I think sometimes, the schemes is what kind of get us in trouble. You know, I can say this, when Coach Miles was there, we were very consistent about what we did, you know, two tight personnel, 61 personnel, you know, two wide receivers, and you know we're going to run the ball. And I think as the time comes on, and what you saw in 2019, how we switched, because on paper, I think LSU is just about as talented as anybody in the country, and we can line up with Alabama at any given day. But the thing that separates us is that they were willing to do it at an early age in the game and start adapting to the spread offenses with us. You know, defensively, we can compete, and they can hold them for, you know, half the game. But then after a while, they don't get tired because they're back on the field as fast as they got off. So I think, you know, with Nick and what he's done is that he was just so part of the new age, and he understood that, hey, I'll be out of a job if I don't get going. Yeah, I do like some things that I like to do. I still like to run the ball, but we can find some new and inventive ways to run the ball. And I think that's what's kind of kept them in the forefront of everything, and everybody's kind of playing second fiddle now. But at this stage in the game, you know, as of 2 years ago, I think that, you know, with Lane and what we did at LSU, I think everybody is now on the same page, and it's basically good on good, and may the best man win.
Justin, LSU opens this season on the road, out in California, taking on UCLA at the Rose Bowl. What's it like opening up a season? Like, what's the difference, really? Playing a huge primetime game, and I know UCLA isn't quite back at that level yet, but it's a big environment, it's a big game on national television, as opposed to, say, opening at home against a non-Power 5 team. You kind of know going in we should beat this team by 30 or 40 points. What's the difference in mindset when you're opening up a huge primetime game, whether it's on the road or one of those neutral site games, whether, you know, those they play those games in Dallas and Atlanta? What's the different mindset when you're opening a season like that?
Oh, I think, you know, especially it gives us the opportunity to showcase LSU, you know, get our brand out there, get kids in a certain area of the country that we haven't had that much success in, a lot of exposure. You know, kids like the primetime games now. You know, opening up against, you know, your lower schools in the country is not always a cup of tea. Obviously, you need those games to kind of get the wheels turning, get the oil going. But I think putting on primetime games gives the guys something to look forward to, gives the fans something to look forward to, prepare for something different, knowing that they'll see these type of things because everybody kind of does the same thing now. But getting on the main stage, and I think getting that LSU brand out there, whatever school you're at, is something that is a must these days, because the more people see it, the more they'll want to come, and the more they'll want to come and visit it and get to know this place.
Justin, we have about a minute left. Do you feel that LSU has enough this year to make a championship run? Can they possibly be a playoff contender?
Yeah, I do. I think the talent's there. You know, I think, you know, with the coaching is there as well. You know, with Durante Jones, our new defensive coordinator, our new addition to Matt Pitts at offensive coordinator, and bringing back DJ Mangum as a passing game coordinator, somebody who's been there was Joe Burrow's assistant. I mean, not Joe Burrow's assistant, Joe Brady's assistant, excuse me. They get it. They understand it. The talent's there. If we can just put these guys in the right positions, you see, I don't see why we can't have an opportunity to fight for it. Obviously, things need to line up and need to stay injury-free and all that good stuff, but I think there's more of an opportunity this year than there has been in quite a while.
Hey, Justin, as I always say, anybody but Alabama, baby. Let's go.
No doubt.
Anybody but Justin, thank you so much for a couple minutes. Appreciate the time. Look forward to watching LSU this year.
All right, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
There you go, Joe. Justin Vincent right there, former LSU running back, MVP of that Sugar Bowl. And hey, the talent's there, Joe. You know that with LSU. The talent is absolutely there.
Go Tigers, Carver. I love this team. This is my dark horse. They're one of my teams. I'm putting money on them to make the college football playoff and win the SEC this year.
And when we come back, I will tell you, Joe, what those odds are for LSU to do all of those things that you just mentioned. College football full circle right here. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We'll take a look at those LSU odds, some week one odds, a lot more to do. We keep rolling after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College Football Full Circle right here, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, Channel 204, Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. All right, Joe, you ask and you shall receive. Here are your odds for LSU. They are 50-1 to win the national title at FanDuel. They're actually in the top 10. They're the ninth choice to win the national title. So that is pretty good. How about the SEC? 30-1 for LSU to win the SEC. And if you want to go a little deeper, SEC West, which is what we're talking today, they are 16-1. Of course, that would mean, Joe, they would have to beat Alabama in the regular season.
Well, they did so. Now, they got abused last year. I actually took them plus the 29.5 at home. Derek Stingley and the crew just got abused by Devontae Smith. But that being said, if this team steps up and plays the way they did in the swamp with Max Johnson, I think they can go toe-to-toe with any team in the country, and including Alabama. Let's not forget, you know, of the two Alabama losses at home since 2015, one came against Joe Burrow in LSU, the other was Ole Miss. So from a talent perspective, it's there. It's can this team come together and unify? So we'll see. I mean, I love them as a dog. In order to pick a team, you need a team with top 10 talent. LSU has that. They recruit top 10 talent and top 5 talent in the interior lines. They have one of the best defensive backs in the country in terms of Derek Stingley. Now can the defense take the next level? Because I do like their running backs. Davis Price and Emery are solid, and they play with an attitude. And that's the biggest thing in terms of the progression from 2020 to this season. So I think in order to win, though, in terms of winning the championship, I want to see Max Johnson at the helm.
Yeah, I'm with you, Joe. I think that that's the way that they can get it done. Another team we have not mentioned once, I believe, since we started here, and that is Auburn. And Auburn making some very significant changes. As we know, Gus Malzahn out, Brian Harrison in. Of course, he was the head coach at Boise State. So you're going to get a very different look from Auburn, Joe, who's 50-1 to win the SEC. They're 16-1 to win the SEC West, and they're far down the national title picture this year, of course. How about a changing of the guard at Auburn?
Yeah, they needed it, right? You know, you cannot just beat Alabama one year and then get blown out the next. You can't just step up every other year like they did under Gus Malzahn, because the boosters are going to run you out of town. Let's not forget, they ran Gene Chizik out of town after you know, winning a national championship. So in order for this team to take the next step, it comes at the quarterback position, and there's huge concerns. Bo Nix did not progress last year, Carver, with an elite wide receiver core. Eli Stove, Anthony Schwartz, Seth Williams. I mean, Schwartz got drafted in the third round. So that wide receiver core was experienced. Bo Nix didn't take a step forward. He took a step back. Now, what is the offense going to look like under Brian Harsin? That's a major concern, because they lost 3 or 4 games down the stretch last year. They got blown out in those games by 18.6 points per game. The defense needs to take the next step. Couldn't do it under Kevin Steele. But I like what he did in terms of the offensive staff and defensive staff. He brings Derek Mason that understands the SEC. He's a better coordinator than he was a head coach at Vanderbilt. So he coaches the defense, and he brings in former Colorado State head coach and former offensive coordinator for the Georgia Bulldogs and former Bulldog quarterback back in 1997, Mike Bobo, that is a very good offensive coordinator. Here's the problem, though. Is Bo Nix the quarterback to lead this team, or is it TJ Finley that transferred in from LSU and is a big play, big arm quarterback that obviously could be one of the elite quarterbacks in years to come?
I'm going to jump around to these other teams. You heard me ask Justin about Ole Miss and Mississippi State. I wanted to get your take, because I love these guys. Like, I love guys who are crazy, Joe, as you can probably tell, and I love Mike Leach. And he goes down to Mississippi State last year. Here's what I didn't love. I didn't love betting on him after that first game, thinking that he was going to score 60 points every week, and then his offense could barely move the ball. That bothered me last year. Lane Kiffin had a little bit more success down in Oxford. He actually did score some points. His problem was his defense gave up about 70 every game. So we've got a couple of mad scientists in the SEC now in that Western Division. Do you see improvement from both of them as they have year 2 in their stops?
I think Ole Miss levels out. I think they're one of the hot teams in terms of the betting perspective. Everybody wants a bang Lane Kiffin and Matt Corral in terms of their over win total. I think they're at best a 6-win football team. You mentioned the defense. They allow 519 total yards to opposing offenses, 200 on the ground. You're not going to win games in the SEC when you're giving up 200 rushing yards per game, 300 in the secondary. So that's not going to change. Matt Corral will put up points, but you look at their 4 wins last year. 4 of them came against Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Miss State, and the bowl win against Indiana. Indiana is the only solid team they beat last year, and that was without Michael Penix. So let's have an honest assessment. I think this is a 6-win football team. I like Will Rogers. He came on for Miss State. I think they're headed in the right direction. Mike Leach weeded out the players that fit and didn't fit his scheme. Defense gets much better. They return 6 starters. Here's the biggest thing, too. They only average 43 rushing yards per game, and you say, well, Joe, you know, it's Mike Leach. They need to be more productive, and what I mean by that is 80 rushing yards per game. When they were that, in terms of Washington State, they were basically a 10-win football team. I think they exceed their win total this year. I think they have some playmakers on defense. Keep an eye out for Miss State. I think they go over. Ole Miss goes under this year.
Wow, how about that? Joe getting on the Mike Leach train. I love it. And finally, one last team from the West. How about year 2 for Sam Pittman in Arkansas? I'll say this about Arkansas, who they've been bad for a while, Joe. I actually thought they played pretty hard with Pittman last year. There were some games where they were late, getting a lot of wood, and they ended up covering, played some teams tough for a half or for 3 quarters. I actually thought I saw some improvement in Arkansas with Pittman.
Without a doubt, and he got bashed as not being a head coach, more of a coordinator, and I couldn't agree more. And he has playmakers here. KJ Jefferson, the athletic quarterback, he's 6'3", about 245. He's going to get the nod most likely in terms of fall camp. He's an athletic type of player. They return 5 starters on the offensive line, 9 starters on defense. And to your point, Carver, the biggest thing that Sam Pittman did in terms of that team, halftime adjustments. Look at one game in particular against Tennessee, trailed 13-0 at halftime. They wound up winning that ball game 21-13 because of the second half adjustments. They went toe-to-toe with his former team, Georgia, in terms of offense and defensive line play. So they're going to be much improved this year. Now, can they surpass their win total? I think that's going to be difficult because of the schedule. 2 players to keep an eye on in terms of the defense, Eric Gregory, the defensive end, and that safety, Jalen Catalan, excuse me, he's going to be an NFL type of safety. This guy is a ball hawk. He's a screaming, hot-seeking missile in terms of the secondary. So he leads that team. If they could be +5 like they were last year in turnover margin, they can win some games, but I'm still selling them because of the schedule this year.
Yeah, we'll have to look at their win total when we do that in the next couple of weeks and try to find ourselves maybe a little buy low, buy the under on Arkansas coming into this year. Joe, before we get out of here today, I have to bring this up because the FanDuel Sportsbook has put up all the lines for week number 1. And this is just so juicy, Joe, because now it feels real. Like, now it's actually happening. I mean, we've got Nebraska-Illinois in that August 28th week 0 game, and you've got the Huskers laying the 7.5 going to Brett Bielema's first game at Illinois. Come on now, Joe. How about Connecticut getting 27.5 sticks out at Fresno State? UCLA opens with Hawaii laying 16.5. I mean, Boise getting 3.5 at UCF on September 2nd. That's not a bad game, Joe. I know we'll get to Mountain West and the American and all these other conferences, but Boise State and UCF, week number 1. Give me Boise with the 3.5, even though I killed him yesterday.
Oh, no way. Give me Dylan Gabriel and UCF with Gus Malzahn. There's no way.
Actually, sorry.
UCF,
you're right.
UCF has way too much talent. Way too much talent, in my opinion, early on.
You know what I'm going to wait for even more there, Joe? Yeah, I'm going to wait for the total to come out. The total in the Boise-UCF game. I think that's going to intrigue us more than this line.
I don't know. It could be 82. Might look like a college basketball game, right, as opposed to a football game. So, you know, what's the record for total yards in a game? I think it was Texas Tech and Baker Mayfield when Mahomes and Baker Mayfield went out. But here's the one thing about those early lines, right? Nebraska – laid double digits to Illinois and Brandon Peters with Lovie Smith, right, as head coach, got abused. Right. Scott Frost needs to win that. You don't even come back to Lincoln if Adrian Martinez, as a 7.5-point favorite, doesn't knock off the Fighting Illini on the road. I'm sorry. That is a must win. A lot of pressure on Scott Frost here early on. So that's the one game that you're like, oh, they're going to lay 7.5 on a road. On the road, they were laying at game time of that game last year in Lincoln, 16.5, Carver. They got abused both sides of the ball. I will say this about Nebraska. I know it's SEC, but I'll tell you this. That defense is much improved. They gave up 169 on the ground last year. If they could take the next step in the front seven, play the way they did against Penn State, they might be a 6-6 football team. But I have no confidence laying the 7.5 in game number one.
Penn State getting 3.5 at Wisconsin in week one, too. Wow.
Yes, I like that. Let me tell you, Clifford over Mertz in a heartbeat. And I just want to get this in before the show is over because I have to. We touched on Auburn. There's one player you have to keep on Auburn. Well, actually three. Two on offense, Sean Shivers, the multi-dimensional third down back, and Tank Bigsby, one of the best running backs in the NCAA this year. But I'll tell you this, that secondary led by Smoke Monday, they made me a lot of money against Tennessee. You never go broke betting on Smoke. Smoke Monday with a 100-yard interception return against the Volunteers. I love Smoke Monday, the best name in college football.
There you go. Nice job. Nice job there, Joe. I'm just looking at more of these here. I'm trying to find some good ones that I really like that I'd probably want to put in early if I could. USC laying 15.5 to San Jose State. That seems kind of low for me, Joe. Although San Jose State, they were pretty good last year. They played well in the Mountain, less the Spartans. Syracuse and Ohio, that's a tough
well,
one.
So
how
much now
how far is it falling for Syracuse that they're laying 1.5 against Ohio, the Bobcats?
Well, that's switched, right? Frank Solich just retired because of health and off-the-field issues, so you would say you give the edge to Dino Babers in that matchup. I'll give you a game that stands out for me just looking through it right now. That Tulane game against Oklahoma is interesting. They're catching 22.5. Willie Fritz is another blue-collar coach, always has his teams ready, disciplined. They want to run the football, not elite talent. But keep your eye out for Tulane with the 3-plus touchdowns. That can be a sleeper just to cover that game, Carver. So the one game early on that I think there's no way they're losing. I don't care what happens. And I know UCLA plays Hawaii early on. There's no way LSU's going to the Rose Bowl and losing that game. No way.
LSU -3.5 right now at FanDuel. 3.5 is the number. I'm with you. That's a hammer LSU spot right there. And you know I always love the bailout blowout, the late night games. It already says here at 11 o'clock, Utah State at Wazoo, -16.5 for the Cougs. That's going to be our first Saturday night bailout blowout, Joe. 11 p.m. Eastern, the Aggies and the Cougars. Let's go.
Oh, I love that game, Carver. These games are great. Are you kidding? The bailout special in Hawaii? I mean, you know, when you get those Hawaii specials, I mean, how about this? I'll tell you what. How about Hawaii plus the 16.5?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I might play Hawaii in that Week Zero game. College football full circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College Football Full Circle right here. Sports Grid Radio, Channel 204 on Sirius XM. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi. I'm still going through these games, Joe. Like, I just can't help myself. Like, it's really hard for me when I look at some of these matchups. Like, I'm already putting in Houston getting the 2.5 against Texas Tech in week number one.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. Texas Tech, forget that guy. They got Shuck at quarterback now. He could take a walk. I'm on Holgorsen. Let's make it happen. And
you like Holgorsen. I hate him. I can't stand him.
Well, listen, you know, he ran and hid down there in Houston. He left West Virginia high and dry. I don't like him for that. But Baylor laying 13.5 against Texas State. That Texas State team was spunky last year, Joe. I might like them at home getting that 13.5.
You know, that's not a bad, you know, the fact that it's under the 14 is a very critical number, right? And you think Baylor Power 5, huge losses on both sides of the ball for Dave Aranda. Charlie Brewer moves on to Utah. I might look at the State because you look at the one game they played early on last year against BC. They lost that game as a 20-point underdog by 3 points. Went down to the field goal game, right? So they can surprise some people. So keep an eye out. Baylor's not as good as people think.
Now, tomorrow, Joe, we will get more into the other side of the SEC, and we'll dive into Florida, Georgia, etc. over in the East.
Yes, and that's the biggest thing, is that can anybody possibly challenge Florida and Georgia? Is it Tennessee? Or I have a dark horse. Could it be Mark Stoops in Kentucky?
Ooh, little dark horse for Joe. Tomorrow we'll get some SEC East side of the odds, and maybe, listen, I wouldn't mind. Can Georgia win something for once, Joe? I mean, please. We'll dive into it more tomorrow. Can they win something for once? They're up here in the top every single year with the odds, and they're favorite to win this. They never win anything. Come on, Kirby. All right, Joe, tremendous stuff. As always, my man, I will talk to you tomorrow. Our thanks to Justin Vincent for joining us for a few minutes. Tremendous job by Andrew Torres, as always, running the show. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204.